Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate each and everyone for joining us today in today's meeting here on Family Essence. This is an online fellowship that God has established to bless His people through His word and to make known His counsel for His generation. And I pray that as we've come, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone, those who are joining us from any part of the world, those who are listening to the sound of my voice. It's a new year, it's a new season, it's a new discovery of God's intention, God's purpose for our lives, and it will be good for us to plunge into, to connect with God and to know His will and His counsel for our lives. Even as we begin this new year, of course, it's time for us to reflect on God's words and to study His words, to grow more, to desire to grow more in the knowledge and in the will, the counsel of God. And I pray that as we continue to encourage ourselves, continue to remain steadfast in the faith, the Lord God Almighty has made all grace abound, available towards us, and He will fulfill His will and His counsel for our lives. In Jesus' name. We welcome today, and today we will be looking at another important subject. Of course, as God has made us to be alive today, His will and His purpose is to ensure that we stay in balance and we remain in His counsel and we remain steadfast in the faith. Today, of course, on Family Essence, we will be looking at a few passages of scriptures, to know the mind of God and the will of God for us. Being a new year, of course, there are so many things that will come at us, but it's important for us to stay in the revealed will and counsel of God. And that informed the subject we will be considering today, which is the straight path for Jesus. Straight path for Jesus. So we'll be looking at the book, the account of John the Baptist, as well as Jesus Christ during His mission on earth, and how He was able, you know, to educate us as Christians today on how to walk in His path. There are so many challenges, so many things that will come at us as Christians that is expected, of course, because we are still in this world. So it is important that we understand what the will of the Lord is, and to refresh ourselves so as to remain focused on the end goal, which is heaven. So today we are considering straight path for Jesus. Straight path for Jesus. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, okay, Matthew chapter 3, if you have your Bible with you, I will need you to open with me as we read together Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1 to 10. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1 to 10. One moment here. Yeah, Matthew 3, 1 to 10. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Now, when you read through the account, when you read through the account of John's mission on earth, as we know that he was a warning prophet, right? There are several prophets in the Bible, think up to like five or six of them with different purpose. When you look at the life of Elijah, John the Baptist, and some other prophet like Daniel and all that, they have their mission and what God intend to do through them in the world. So John was a warning prophet, and his mission is to prepare the way of Jesus Christ through baptism. And most people actually acknowledge the fact that he was sent from God, preaching repentance, righteousness, and reconciliation through his baptism. That was his mission. That was what he was ordained to do. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, you will discover that the message John preached, it's all about repentance, righteousness, and reconciling us unto God. Jesus, the straight path that we are looking at today, it's has to do with preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we must prepare ourselves, there is a need for us to understand that we cannot do so by our mortal flesh. We cannot do so by our own mental or physical ability. You may have so many talents, you may have so many gifts, but those gifts are still locked in the flesh if you have not yet received Christ and if you are not walking the path of righteousness. Now, in verse 8, it says here, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Now, there are several fruits in this world. There are several fruits that men actually project, that, you know, when they react to some situations, you will discover that this is a fruit that is still in the flesh. There are two dimensions of fruit. There is a fruit that is embedded in the flesh, and there is another one that is embedded in the Spirit of God. So
John the Baptist is saying, when you bring forth fruit, for you to be able to bring forth fruit that is meet, that is equal to repentance, for you to be able to do that, you have to acknowledge the fact that you can't do that without accepting the person of Jesus Christ, without fully following the will and the laws of God. And it's saying in there, bring forth fruit, therefore, meet for repentance. The sect of people that Jesus Christ, John the Baptist rather was talking to here, it's a general counsel to his generation and the generation in which we are today. So in order for us to be able to understand God's will, we need to bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. Now, when the Pharisees actually sent priests and Levites to John asking him questions, John the Baptist actually told them that who has warned you to come or to flee? Telling them that they're a generation of viper, they are still walking in the flesh, and the fruit for repentance cannot be revealed in you if you are still walking in the flesh. So we see the account of John the Baptist here, even when at some point the Pharisees said unto him that who sent you, and then they begin to ask him questions and all that. And John the Baptist made mention of something here which I want to call our attention to, which of course the Pharisees as of old actually laid claims on the fact that they are of the seed of Abraham, okay, based on the laws that God has, based on how God is able to regulate Abraham. God was able, through his laws, regulate the life and the dealings he had with Abraham. So because of that, the Pharisee feels, okay, because we are of the seed of Abraham, we have righteousness in us. We are self-sufficient in ourselves. And John the Baptist is telling them that, say not he, you'll see in verse 9, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, because the Pharisees are known to be people who once they notice that they emerge, or they are from the lineage of of a particular prophet, they see no reason why they should walk in the counsel of God, which of course is the same thing today. Many believe that because of the prayers of because they emerge from the from a Christian home or from a Christian background, or they bear a Christian name, there is no reason why they should subject themselves to the laws and the will of God. So the same thing is applicable here. In the book of John, when Jesus Christ, in the book of John chapter 8 in verse 31 to 39, we're going to read that very shortly. You will see that when Jesus Christ was in the temple and he was, advising and, revealing the mind of God to the people, these same people actually also link claims on the fact that they were not born of any other seed. They were born of the seed of Abraham. So therefore, what Jesus Christ had to say has no meaning, has no basis, okay, for which he was, educating them about the counsel of God, about how heaven regulates men. In the book of John, chapter 8, let's look at the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, we'll be looking at verse 31 to 39. 31 to 39. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. You know, sometimes it's not enough for you to, like I did say, come from a Christian background, or you know, you're given a Christian name, and so automatically, right, everyone is a guaranteed thing for you. That is not how this works, okay? Even if you're from a Christian background, I remember those days when I was still, you know, very much young, nursery school, primary school, there is a particular song we used to sing then, more like, you know, Father Abraham have many sons are Father Abraham's, and I am one of them, and so are you, so let us praise the Lord, right? So the fact that we sing this song, or we kind of, you know, follow along with this song in church, does not mean that our life is still regulated by the will and by the counsel of heaven. We still leave the prayer, the church, and then we go back to fighting, to stealing, to, so that you are singing a song, that you are from a Christian home, that you bear a Christian name, that you know your prayer wakes you up every morning to do it, does not automatically makes you a candidate of heaven if the laws of God isn't regulating your life. You cannot bring forth fruit meet for repentance that way. So walking, preparing the straight path for Jesus is for Jesus to be able to, for his commandments to be able to regulate our lives, so that when it comes, we will have the boldness to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now it says here, in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How seest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him again. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Ye would do the works of Abraham. So there is a life when God called Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, there is an expectation, okay, of God, that God expects Abraham to walk in. There is a lifestyle that should regulate your life. That was the reason why Jesus Christ was telling them, if you lay claim on the fact that you are Abraham's seed, I have no doubt. You can be from any lineage or any of a prophet or anyone, or you're born into a Christian home. But if you claim that you know God, you would do the works of God, because there is nobody that wants to enter into the kingdom of heaven that must not be regulated by the laws. You have to be regulated. You live in a country, okay, there are laws that guides that country, That's the reason why anarchy is absent, right? Everybody lives freely in the society, okay? There are no violence and all. And, you know, because you know that there are consequences for your action. The same thing now is applicable to the kingdom of God. There are regulations, there are laws, there are rules that we must live by. In the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, when God called Abraham, he said, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, if you look at what God told Abraham there, God is saying that you cannot walk in the flesh and please me. No, that's not how that works. So there must be a regulation around your life, the way you talk, the way you relate with people, what you do on a daily basis. It has to be regulated by the word of God, by the counsel of heaven. Now, these same Pharisees, actually, you know, Jews and those who whom Jesus Christ was educating about how heaven operates, they were so backward. I mean, thinking that, you know, because they are from the lineage of a lineage of a prophet, they automatically have inherited the lifestyle of that prophet. That's not how that works. And it's telling them that the journey of heaven and in the school of God, we are the only student. You, listening to the sound of my voice, are the only student in the school of God. Okay, it's not a company thing, it's an individual dealing. If you see someone who everyone has been able to regulate their life, who has accepted the person of Jesus Christ, the person knows that there are rules, there are regulations, there are things you do not do when you come into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this same passage of scripture reveals to us that we are not sufficient of ourselves in living and in fulfilling God's counsel for our lives. We'll look at the book of Galatians chapter 1 in verse 5 in verse 1 and Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1 as well. We see the life of John the Baptist. He followed suit after righteousness. He walked the life of holiness. He was able to, you know, he was able to declare the mind and the counsel of God to the people. And if you are listening to my voice today and you feel you are sufficient of yourself and you do not want to accept and you do not want to, you know, walk in the straight path where God has, what God has designed for you to walk in, it is important for you to understand that no flesh can please God. We'll see that shortly in the book of Romans. If you have your Bible and be there, open with me to the book of Romans. We will look at the account of the letter of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, to the church at Rome. And we'll look at what Paul the Apostle actually said to them with regards to the flesh. Now, we need to understand that there are different laws that guides the life of a man. There is a natural law and there is a spiritual law. The natural law operates on the frequency of the flesh. The spiritual law operates on the frequency of the spirit. So the book of Romans chapter 7 here, Romans chapter 7, in verse 7 to 25, it's actually a long passage, but it is to give us a background and for us to understand that if you walk in the flesh, you will also live by the flesh. And there is no fruit, you cannot bring forth fruit that is equal to repentance. It's not possible. It's not possible. So you see somebody who operates on the frequency of the flesh, just like your cell phone, right? When you have a cell phone, you cannot have an Android cell phone. There is an operating system that Android has. There is an operating system that Apple has. You cannot hold an Apple phone and you desire to operate on the frequency or on the operating system of an Android. There are functionalities, there are things that are embedded in the operating system of an Android phone. Someone who has an Android phone, and then sometimes you want to download something and say, this is not available for Android. Or you go to the Play Store, you want to download, and say, no, this only operates on the platform or the operating system of an Apple device, not an Android device. The same thing is, same it is when it comes to the works of God, when it comes to the regulation of heaven. In the book of Romans chapter 7, in verse 7, I read, What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay. So there are, we need to understand here, Paul the Apostle, you know, like I did say earlier on, was trying to educate the church at Rome, saying that there are two different kind of laws, right? There is a law that guides, that regulates those who are in the kingdom of God, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And there is another law that, the law that regulates those who are in the kingdom of God operates by the frequency of the Spirit of God. And there is another law that regulates based on the physical law. That is a law that regulates the flesh. That is what Paul the Apostle is saying here. So when we're reading, I need us to follow through to understand the basis of these two laws. So I'll read again. What shall we say then in verse 7? Romans 7. In verse 7, it says here, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. For I have not known lust, except the Lord had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, it's saying that there is a law of the Spirit. So, with the law of the Spirit, of course, someone that works based on the regulations of the Spirit of God, he cannot dwell in the flesh. So I'll read on. But sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made dead unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, walking dead in me, but that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold on the sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So there is a law of God, that there is a law, you know, tending towards sin. So that is what Paul the Apostle is was trying to, you know, say and pass to the church at Rome, to make them understand that the walking in the flesh has to do with the law of with the natural law, which has no power, no potency of regulating your life. So the law of the flesh will regulate your flesh. The law of the spirit will regulate your spirit, so that in the physical you will not have the ability to do, I mean, to sin anymore. So walking the straight path of Jesus requires that we live after the Spirit, that we accept the person of Jesus. How then can a man walk in the Spirit? You can walk in the Spirit by obeying the laws of God, by accepting the persons of Jesus, by allowing heaven to regulate your life. Paul the Apostle actually, you know, captured these laws and in other words, educating us about how to walk the straight path of Jesus, laying claims on your physical ability to be able to do the will of God. Paul the Apostle at some point said, "Those that walk in the flesh cannot please God." The flesh has the capacity of making us to operate based on our knowledge, not on the knowledge of God, not on the spiritual knowledge. For instance, if you see someone who maybe did something and someone start insulting you, calling you names and all that, the first thing that responds is the flesh. That's the first thing that responds. Your flesh will tell you that there are 10,000 or 2,000 or 200 people that are listening to what this other person is saying to you. Are you going to keep quiet? Are you a fool? Do you want this thing to just slide like that? Why don't you say your own back? You have, this person cannot hold you. This person cannot beat you. This person cannot. So all those things going on your mind are based on the frequency of the flesh. The flesh, the first thing that responds, it is the flesh. Someone who was given an opportunity to change the course of a check, maybe had another zero, maybe, you know, perpetuate fraud. And there is an opportunity to do that. You know, I used to have a friend who, when he was employed in a particular company, was given a blank check. Now, at some point in time, because it's a factory, right? So they have some vents that they need to, you know, replace from time to time and all that. And, you know, so it was time for them to replace those vents and all that. So he was given a blank check to add his own zero. If the cost of one vent is to change or to replace that particular item is $100, right? Now that's the cost. Now the person who is in charge, who is supposed to replace the vent, will go around to meet the managers to say, okay, we are replacing the vent this year. All right, so the cost is this, but if you're interested, you can add your own $10, you know, to make it $110, you can add to your own. And it will go around. Anybody that is not interested, of course, they'll mark the person off and all. But of course, it has become a norm in that particular organization to change figures, right? Whenever they are replacing these items in the warehouse or in the factory. Now, when the friend came to me and I told the friend, I said, see, it is God that gave you the job, right? And he will provide a way for escape. You don't have to change numbers. You don't have to do anything. Okay? When they bring that thing to you, tell them, no, you are not interested. You see, the flesh will want to respond when you see an avenue of, you know, changing numbers. If you see somebody who found, probably, maybe you're just walking in a store, you saw a wallet and you saw maybe $5,000 in the wallet. The first thing that operates, the first thing that would speak is the flesh, not the spirit. The flesh will tell you, but you have needs. If you take $5,000 and then you set to your need, it's the flesh will suggest to you, based on your present need, based on what you have to do now. If you go by the flesh, then you no longer have the capacity. What the Spirit of God does is that when the flesh speaks, the Spirit of God comes to tell you that I've given you the power to sin no more, because you are no longer living in yourself. That's the reason why someone who does not have the Spirit of God within them, someone who has not acknowledged the person of Jesus, who have not confessed their sin, who does not allow the laws of heaven to regulate their lives, will always obey the flesh, will always be. So Paul the Apostle is saying here that the flesh is the first response. That is the thing. But when you remember who you are in Christ, you will discover that you are no longer yourself. There is a law that guides and regulates your life. So you have no ability within yourself to take charge except you walk on the frequency and the operating system of heaven. The operating system of heaven will make you to see mortal men from the perspective of God, will make you respond to everything that comes to you from the perspective of God. So you have no ability, you no longer have any ability within yourself to subject yourself to the laws of the flesh. If you see somebody who is being called different names and all that, and you know, the flesh will come to you and say, are you the only one? The flesh will speak to you. And that was what happened in the Garden of Eden. You know, so it's important for us to understand that God wants us to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And if we must do so, we cannot do so from the operating system of the flesh. We cannot always do so. We can only do so from the operating system of the Spirit. So they that work in the flesh can never please God. You can never please God. You can never please God. Whatever your name is, whatever background you come from, either you're from a Christian background or you're born from the, you know, lineage of, you know, Abraham or whatever prophets, or even if your dad was the, you know, former overseer, it does not give you a license for heaven. The only thing that gives you a license from heaven is to accept the person of Jesus and to allow the laws of God to regulate your life. So as we begin this year, you need to start making up your mind. You need to decide, because if you want to walk with God, it has to be deliberate. It has to be deliberate. The reason why God will not allow sin, will not take away lust from you, is because He wants you to carry your cross daily and follow Jesus. You have to decide today, which of the law do you want to regulate your life? Is it the law of the flesh or the law of the spirit? Make up your mind today, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. And when He comes, your flesh cannot go with Him. It is your spirit, a regenerated spirit, a newness of life that God has given you that will go with Jesus. So I want us to bow down our heads and pray to God today and ask God to save us and ask the person of Jesus to come into your life today. If you are yet to be saved, if you are yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, if you have not given your all to Jesus, you need to close your eyes today and make up your mind to follow Jesus. Say, Jesus, I am ready to follow you. I have no ability within myself to do the things of the Spirit. Please come into my life. Save me. Deliver me from sin. Write my name in the book of life and give me the power to sin no more. As you make this positive confession to Jesus, He is able to give you the power, the right to become one of His sons in His kingdom. Open your mouth and pray and ask God to forgive you your sins. And perhaps if flesh has been dictating to you as a son of the kingdom, you need to go to Calvary. You need to ask Jesus to help you. Is the only one. You know, He said in the book of John chapter 15 that without Him, we can do nothing. Nobody can help you. It's only Jesus that can help you. And I pray that as you make up your mind today, God will help you to overcome sin and to walk the walk of righteousness and to prepare His way so that when He comes, He will find you worthy to be with Him in heaven. Let us pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for your word of life that has come to us today. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for how you made it possible for us to cross over to the new year. Lord, I pray that as many that have realized their sinful state, that have realized that they are not sufficient of themselves to walk the works of righteousness, to walk the works of holiness, Lord, I pray that you will save and deliver them today and give them the right to become your sons and daughters and to prepare your way so that when you come, you will receive them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. You will give them the grace, give them the power to sin no more, give them the strength to overcome every challenges that comes to them so that they would not have the capacity to respond in the flesh anymore, but through your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And as many that have secured the right standing with you already, Lord, I pray that you give them the power to continually to overcome, to continually pick up the cross daily and follow you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that this year will be a fruitful year for each and every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Our desires will be fulfilled according to your will and purpose for our lives in Jesus' name. Let your presence abide with us, and as we go about our daily activities, I pray that your presence will be with us in Jesus' name. Keep us, O Lord, from evil, and let your name be glorified in our lives in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen.